online, offline, bottom line. Sendoff.net.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sundog, the podcast. It's the show where we talk about everything related to marketing plus technology. And hopefully by the end of today's show, you'll take away something that can help improve your company's bottom line. This is episode number 24, Rich Media Basics, and I am Lon Keller, your host for this afternoon. I'm the senior editor here at Sundog Studios. Joining us around the table today, we'll start with Jonathan Rademacher. He's our executive vice president of application delivery. How you doing, JR?
I'm good.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Nick Green is back. He's our online art director.
Hey there.
And Nate Madison also joins us. He's one of our marketing data analysts here at Sundog.
Glad to be here.
Glad you're here with us. Well, like I said, today's show is all about rich media. And Nick, I'd like to start with you and get your opinion on what qualifies as rich media. Because for me, there's no simple answer. Someone can look back to the time when pictures first started to appear with print. And for that period of time, that was rich media. So what qualifies as rich media to you?
Yeah, I completely agree. There is no definition out there that really actually stands true anymore. I mean, the oldest definition I've been able to find is anything online is rich media. The International Ad Bureau has something that says basically any sort of additional interactivity beyond just clicking on it. The OPA has a different definition that basically says anything that steps outside the bounds of what's normal. So where I'd pretty much put it is anytime that you're getting outside of that simple flash linear banner ad with like the dancing person underneath the insurance ads or anything like that, that's when you start stepping into rich media. Anytime you have additional ways of input, you have different things like video, expanding things, you're coming outside the box, that's pretty much when you're stepping into the rich media realm.
What's the difference between what you would qualify as rich media and something that isn't? I mean, what isn't rich media anymore is probably the better question.
I think if you look back to the animated GIFs of the old days, and you kind of think of what their capabilities were, mm-hmm. There's very little that what we do now for simple flash animation that really goes beyond what those boundaries were. So we never really expanded on the expectations there. We just sort of made the animations a little bit smoother.
I love those. Your interest rate is 10% mm-hmm. in this area. The little dancing babies they've got.
Flashes between perfect. Red and purple, red yep. and purple. Yeah.
You always look at them. It must work.
Well, that comes to another question, you know, talking about things that you can do with rich media that just really mess with the customer's mind and turns them off. You know, what are other types of rich media that you feel that customers just no longer appreciate?
I think interstitials, which are actually growing in popularity right now, those are basically those pages. If you go to Forbes.com, you're going to see them all the time. You click on an article you're interested into, you get brought to a completely separate page, mm-hmm. and that page is just one giant ad. It might have a video, might just be static.
Click here to avoid 15 seconds of staring at it.
Exactly. Yeah. And those are,
I think those are horrible. I guess the other ones, I don't know if you classify them as rich media or not, mm-hmm. but when I go to Wall Street Journal or some of the other high-end web properties where they've got more of an interactive piece that actually goes over my copy and it starts mm-hmm. driving over it. And I mean, it's entertaining and at times very frustrating. Is that, what would you say that's?
Oh, definitely. It's that floating rich media, basically an expanding rich media that doesn't require sort of any user input. So that instead of anybody interacting with the ad and being interested in sort of seeing more, they're just sort of knocked in the face with it.
From my standpoint, being a creative wannabe, not understanding all the aesthetics, always I'm more on the side of having to make sure it gets out to the people. So rich media actually has a direct correlation with the heaviness of the web page or the heaviness of the flash piece. And I always translate that where if we're going to do rich media, it almost seems like you're only targeting people that have high bandwidth connections.
So when you say heavy,
is that accurate?
When you say heavy, though, I mean, what are you specifically talking about?
Talking about the page size. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I think of rich media, it's a video, it's a flash piece. It's not the Google homepage that loads in, you know, 10K or 100K or whatever that is, you know, it's a heavy, rich, I mean, there's a direct correlation between size of the footprint and the actual response by maybe the folks that are putting together.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest person to blame for that is generally going to be these website publishers. I mean, they are continually asking us to stick within 60K, but we've never been pinged for doing anything outside of that. I'd say the average ad that you're going to load is probably going to be closer to 200K. Because when you do add these things in, you're no longer within the guidelines that have been set over and over and over again, because no one really wants to check that. So without that policing, we do start bogging down pages, and generally just to the detriment of the page, but to the advantage of the creative and our client.
Jerry, yeah, yep. Go ahead.
No, I just, it's interesting hearing your take on it, because I was able to set back and go, boy, that's not the way I think of it. It's more of that heavy page. It's this bulk. It's all, you want a rich site, huh? Boy, we're going to have to look at content delivery networks. We're going to have to look at beefing this up. You're going to need different servers. You're going to need different delivery mechanisms. Who are you going to be excluding from this rich media? Mm-hmm. The mobile users, the folks that are on dial-up, the folks that are on, you know, 128K lines. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing that pops into my head instantly with rich.
Well, I definitely think there's a way to get around that, too. There's a lot of things like the expanding rich media that don't have necessarily the same downfalls as video rich media, for example. And just kind of throughout the way, there's a way to have it be small and there's a way to have it be huge. And if you're not, as a publisher, if you're not going to get pinged for it being huge, given that the mobile audience is already not going to be there, and the smaller, you know, maybe if the smaller bandwidth users aren't your basic demographic, and there's not a whole lot of reason to give that coach.
The other piece is, you know, rich media has drawbacks. I mean, that's the first thing I think of. Mm-hmm. It's heavy, possibly. The other piece is it's hard to measure. At least, you know, the first thing we think of when we're putting a flash piece in, you know, oh, your SEO's shot, or oh, this other piece is shot. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the first difficulty we have with rich media, not to be on the negative side here, but a lot of times we'll have multiple interaction points within a rich media ad. Items you can click on, roll over, those types of items. They all require, if you want to track those, additional JavaScript calls in the back end to report a page view or some kind of interaction to your analytics tool for every single one of those. So again, it gets heavy, but again, if you want to know how people are interacting with your videos, if they're playing them on rich media or if they're rolling over, anything like that, I think there's a ton of what you can learn about what draws people and what they're responding to. So there's a pro and a con to each one of these. One thing I wanted to add as far as whether or not people will dial up and mobile can use these things, a lot of sites will serve up either one of two ads, either rich media ad if the user can accept flash and all those types of things, and if they don't have that on their PC, the ad serving tool will serve up a JPEG version of the ad so that you don't have that issue of a heavy ad for users that don't tolerate Java and Flash Player type things on their computers.
What does that do to development effort from your standpoint if all of a sudden not only do I have to figure out how all these interaction points work, but for low bandwidth, I have to come up with a whole new presentation that's still desirable?
I think with a lot of times, people overemphasize the low bandwidth and the amount of trouble that kind of portrays. I mean, when we don't serve up a flash ad, for example, when we're doing an ad placement, that's generally because that person turned off flash. They didn't want any sort of advertisement that way. They didn't install it. They're on a computer that's, you know, more than 8 years old. Because mm-hmm. The penetration rate right now of flash, if I remember correctly, I think most people at Flash Player 8 are already at 98% of computers currently have that. So, I mean, it's a small group that are that way, but I got to imagine that there's some sort of knowledge there, or at least an aversion to flash, if you're turning that down. When it comes to low bandwidth, on the other hand, though, I think you are talking about a group that's very used to living in the web environment that we currently have, where it's going to be a slow page download time. It's going to be time. They're used to waiting at that point. And while we certainly don't want to add to that exponentially, I think pulling it down beyond simply, you know, like reducing the bit rate on the video, for example, mm-hmm. Doesn't necessarily do anybody any good.
So what I'm hearing from you three is, in your opinion, the greatest barrier to the proliferation of rich media on the internet basically just comes down to bandwidth and high bandwidth availability.
Well, I think that's what we're discussing here. Is rich media heavy, if you will? Does it have large file sizes, or is that not accurate? You know, is rich media, something more aesthetically.
I would say that rich media in and of itself doesn't have to be heavy by any means. I mean, even if you're streaming a video, you're going to be streaming 10 seconds of it, and the initial load time with the polite downloading that's generally instituted by a lot of the ad serving services out there is going to allow for just a small, tiny little piece. You know, you're talking like 30K is going to be downloaded initially. The entire rest of the page is going to load, and then you're going to start seeing your video of Beyonce sitting there telling you slowly about this new charity that she's promoting.
So is it always an ad, or what about the, you know, the actual rich media sites where you have a highly, again, rich media correlating to highly interactive? Is that the same?
Talking like piece? Flash websites, yeah. Like purely Flash websites. Those I find generally are smaller than their HTML counterparts, to be perfectly honest. When it comes down to it, we can compress Flash so small, whether it's a bitmap, whether it's this other thing, and we can control the upload of the pieces so that we're not really uploading an entire Flash site the same way we were like 3 years ago, where we had absolutely everything come in with that preloader. Nowadays, we're doing a lot more dynamic downloading. We're making sure that we only give them what they need. We're buffering in the background while they're doing other things. So that, in my personal preference, I feel that Flash sites oftentimes, notwithstanding the SEO detriments, are a lot more pleasurable to be on because they are going to load a little bit faster. They are going to be loading in a more sequential way that's been thought about rather than the way an HTML page kind of renders. And that buffering aspect in the background allows for the future navigation when you get deeper into that site to be that much more thought through by the developer.
Nate, are there any type of specific variations of rich media on the web that you have seen people accept more than others?
I think we certainly know that the floating ads, anything that moves across the page, has higher click through rates. Whether the user wants to click on that ad or not, maybe is yet to be known. A lot of ads have a little close box in the upper right hand corner. That's very useful for users. Some of them don't, and so I think they get clicked on by accident. Users are trying to close them. But the bottom line is, in general, rich media ads, whether they're just expandable or video, have click-through rates that are 5 times higher than your traditional Flash ads. So we certainly know that they work. I don't think users click on them 5 times as often just by accident because they're trying to close them. I think that they're really doing the job that they're designed to do, which is to get people's attention, whereas the old leaderboard ads, banner ads, skyscraper ads are starting to become, people are not seeing them when they're looking at the page. They're falling into the margins. We're bringing ads now into the page, hopefully not to be an annoyance, which is kind of why we brought up this subject of what's the detriment of rich media for tracking those types of things. There is certainly a number of those clicks happening, but in general the acceptance is very high from a click-through rate perspective.
Yeah, and DoubleClick actually just released a white paper about a month ago saying basically not only the click-through rate was greatly influenced by rich media, but rich media, particularly with video, had up to 3 times the impact as far as their impression of the brand and the brand equity value of that same piece. So it's not that they're even annoyed by it and accidentally clicking on it, that once they viewed that page that they were actually coming out with a more favorable view of the brand.
Is it just because the customers, when they see video, there's this sort of element of trust that automatically conveys to them? If they see it's a video, they trust it more?
I would say quality, yeah. Just that idea that if you have a poorly constructed website, you're not going to give them your Visa card number. Mm-hmm. It's the same kind of thing. You know, if you see a company out there that's able to have a really nice, you know, commercial compared to the person who's going to have the dancing silhouette, I keep going back to that one, or the one where you start shooting the pheasants that are running across the leaderboard there. I think there's just such a large difference in the quality of it and large distance in the production value that you can immediately acknowledge that, and that gives to the ethos of that brand.
Well, and obviously that's core to our business, but it is your brand. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's your company's brand. It has the staying power. If people are looking, if they drive by a billboard, see your URL, they go to your website, that's the most important touch point that you're going to have. So, you know, our ability to measure that is impacted by the complexity of the rich media, but you know that differentiates the small time brand from the big brand.
I think complexity is a huge word that you just brought up there too, because I think a lot of the issues that we were talking about at the beginning kind of really work well with that, and that there's a lot more to worry about. There's a lot more issues and a lot more different ways to track it. There's a lot more elements that need to go into production. It does take longer to produce. It does take a hell of a lot more of a back-end support system for your media buyers to your website and all those deployment people to understand what's going on. But we are building a more complex project. I mean, it is something that's going to give a much more rich user experience. It's going to be able to portray maybe four, you know, commercials, for example, with something we recently did for a client in one banner ad. It's going to give a lot more bang for the buck, even though there's going to be a few more headaches because of that.
HTML5, what does that bring to the party in making it easier to get rich media, specifically video elements, out on the web?
Most notably, I had watched a demo or read some information on a HTML5 demo that had a cylinder. I don't know if you remember the old Tron, where he goes into the face and the face is spinning, but it's very similar, where you have multiple, almost look like post-its, creating a cylinder. You could see the inside and the outside, and they had video playing on all of those. And doing that with HTML and JavaScript is a considerable challenge prior to HTML5. And how does that contend with, Flash, Flex, Silverlight? You know, do you still need those when you have this richer platform?
I think there's definitely going to be some competition there. It's going to be really interesting as we get into the next decade or so, whether or not we can do these really impressive things that we've formerly only been able to do in Flash and Flex and all these other things, and bring them back to their more basic roots with JavaScript. I would love to see that happen. At the same time, right now, when you see that kind of thing and then you see what the Flash equivalent would be, it's always sort of mockable in comparison. I mean, it's not there yet. I want it to be, but I feel like at this day and age, it's still Flash is still kind of the leader as far as capabilities and ease of use and quickness and production and all that sort of stuff.
Just so everybody that's listening at home knows, Nick has a Adobe tattoo on his neck.
Do you guys have a favorite example that you can recall off the top of your head of a rich media ad that you said, you know, man, this one really hit the mark, and something that you created doesn't count?
Probably my most favorite in recent memory here has been Apple's series of ads. They just signed up with a new campaign with, I think, Crispin Porter Borgowski, but I'm not sure. And basically, the ad, which is a synced ad, which is one of the different types that we'll be posting on the website later, is just two different banner ads that you may or may not realize are actually linked together.
Is this the one where the two, I'm a Mac, I'm a PC, those two guys?
Yeah, okay. That was a different one in the same campaign. When they first hit 1 million buys with their app store, they had the iPhone on the top start streaming out all these different little icons from the that represented the applications, and it would fly all the way over the page. They had to make it custom for every single website they were doing it for, but the look of it and just the feeling of this huge stream of ads going through was just ridiculous.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. The other one is very similar. I think they're very impactful, where they've got the coordination, but it was a similar ad, but I think it was actually interacting with the text on the web page. I forget what it was, but it was actually munging up the text on the page, so the letters were actually turning to their sides and becoming a pile. So that's very effective. It's also extremely distracting. And I wonder, if we are working with media placement and whatnot, how the impact of a very effective ad, if I'm on the New York Times and they obviously want me to go look at another New York Times article, and I'm clicking to go away to Apple, you know, how that's another complexity that's added in. So
from a purely informational exchange point of view, when you look at major news organizations, ABC, CBS, New York Times, whatever, you go to their website, they're obviously learning the value of rich media. I mean, whoever thought newspapers would be having little video clips on their website? I look at things like that, and I'm just amazed by how one entity, print, is adopting video, and at the same time, video is saying, okay, I guess print isn't so bad. We'll also write the story out on our website.
Well, and then added to that complexity is the social media aspect, and some folks get it, some organizations get it, and some really don't. I mean, they're trying to do Twitter, they're trying to do these social aspects, they're trying to get video on, and it just sort of ends up being this big pile of something. And I think that it's interesting that they're trying to create this media portal, right? Mm-hmm. They all of the newspapers to date have all been ad sponsored. So they're trying to transform that piece to the web and trying to get it all at once. And you see a lot of partnerships between the newspapers and the traditional TV stations and the like to try and come up with that. But I don't, you can tell, again, with that brand equity, you can tell the ones that get it and the ones that don't.
Is there a danger of them trying to do too much too fast?
I think you can see that danger right now on CNN.com, to be perfectly honest. They're a television station, so they should be focused mainly on the video projects there. Mm-hmm. But when you go to their video gallery, it's repulsive. I'm sorry. It's very much these people who are used to maintaining a website and have been doing that very well thus far, now integrating video on the web, and doing so without really giving more than a couple thoughts to user experience. And I would say it would be something that should be revisited within the next month, CNN, if you're listening.
Yeah, but I think a lot of these things, it's, you know, I watch a lot of news feeds, even from CNN, mm-hmm. on my TV. Mm-hmm. You know, I pull in through my PlayStation 3, mm-hmm. it formats perfectly in there. So I think that merge between all of these media platforms is coming quicker than most people understand. The ones that frustrate me are the ones that still think, I'm going to give you a little snippet of a story, and if you want more information, go to our website. And not only am I not going to tell you where it is on my website, but you got to click on this special button and then go and find it on your own. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the frustrating pieces.
Right after that 15-second ad pops up, right?
Yeah, right after I'm distracted by something else. And I think that's the other piece is, you know, it's information overload. That's been the issue with the web since it first started up. And, mm-hmm. You know, adding all those pieces to a page and creatively putting them together is a real challenge.
And from a design standpoint, we've had that ever since print design came out, too. I mean, there's always the guy who wants 17 pieces or 17 pictures right next to a full size map, directions to his restaurant, and the full menu put on this postcard. And it's very difficult to tell him that doesn't work either. And it's been the same challenge when we got to websites as well.
And his blog and his Twitter handle and his... Mm-hmm.
Okay, we all know that bandwidth is coming. Everyone is going to get... JR shaking, he said, no, we're not going to get more bandwidth. Well, Mid-Continent just laid the line in front of my house. I got 10 megabits coming hopefully in a couple months, so I'm crossing my fingers.
The problem is you're behind the curve, 10 megas. We need more
than
that already.
I suppose, yeah. What's Japan got? 60 is the norm over there?
Yeah, and I don't mean to please elaborate on your question. The I don't mean to cut you off right there. The reason that I do is if you look at some of the smaller European countries, or if you look at Japan, where the land mass is much smaller, and those guys are running fiber, mm-hmm. and you're talking about 100 meg minimum connection, where you can truly do HD video embedded in an interactive piece. You just can't even do that on a 10 meg connection. Mm-hmm. I've got a 10 meg connection at home, and I have trouble streaming Netflix at a reasonable rate.
Wow.
I mean, it's decent. You can do it, but if you're trying to run, if you're trying to get up to HD, we all know how much bandwidth that takes. You know, it depends on the compression rate and the like. But
sure.
That's what we need to have. You need to be able to run simultaneous HD channels over that small connection. So, you know, fiber to the curb, FiOS, all these things that you know, some of the major metros like San Francisco, New York are getting. You know, I've heard that there's a one in New York that's doing $99 a month for 100 meg guaranteed mm-hmm. service. So I think that we still need a lot more bandwidth, but I'll let you finish your question.
That's fine. Well, where I was going with this is, you know, I wanted to kind of dovetail into other than bandwidth being one of the major hurdles for Rich Media to get going, like we touched on before. What about just the adoption or the creation of a decent set of standards that most people can follow?
And there are standards out there right now. I think there's probably really only two bodies that have been sort of established leaders, and they have big names behind them. You know, the Pepsis and the Cokes of the world have all picked their sides on this one. But I feel like their standards are pretty antiquated at this point, particularly the IABs, where they're requiring that you stay within 30K in a lot of different cases. They're requiring that you have, you know, a certain amount of interaction and absolutely no more. In order to be recognized as compliant with these companies, you have to ban any type of creativity that goes outside those boxes. Now, as things are adding, as we're coming up with new ideas and new ways to do a better job attracting someone's attention without distracting them from the content they're trying to read, I really only see the OPA as coming up with these new formats and coming up with new standardizations that allow for larger formats. And across the board, you can see, if you look at statistical data, Forrester just came out with something that said that across the board, the larger the piece, the more often it's going to be clicked. Allowing larger ads, I think, is going to be a big part of it. Coming up with brand new ideas, such as the pushdown, which OPA just inaugurated. These are going to be the ways that rich media are actually going to become functional, not just obnoxious. And I think that that's really going to be the push right there, where it's not necessarily increasing anything as far as how much bandwidth we're planning on using. But I think it's more along the lines of coming up with new and interesting ways of allowing us to be big and impressive and creative without killing the content that we're covering up.
Where do you see the future going with rich media? What would you like to see?
I would like to see a little more integration with the actual content. Right now, rich media has always been viewed as the outlier, the competition to real content. And I think that really only ever gets married when we do a full flash site currently, which is the exact opposite of the way that I think it should be handled right now. Right now, we have angry banner ads in the corner that are trying to get more attention away from it. I think there's definitely something to be said for having one web page that doesn't have to reload or necessarily even use Ajax to change its context, but just to have all of the information and have it be relayed through a Flex interface or any other sort of rich internet application. But take this rich media push right now, which is really only being used as the sparkle as a way to get attention on the web and to start actually using that as part of the web experience as opposed to just the web distractions. I think that would be where I hope it goes, at least.
See, what I really like from rich media is that it's multi-platform. And what I mean by that is I'm sick of having a different format on my phone from my computer, from my television. I want all that to be ubiquitous and be usable. And I think that there's a piece of rich media in there. Again, with that heaviness, I always translate it to video. You know, watching Hulu, again, on my television at home, it's a good experience, and yet I still pay for 90 channels of cable, and I maybe watch 15 minutes of it a day, and it's just ridiculous. The market is adapting very quickly, and I'm hoping this will cure a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, in mobile platforms in particular, I think right now we're still waiting for some sort of defining factor. This Android project from Google is hopefully going to help in some sense the word, but my guess is that we're still going to have at least 7 different ways that we have to serve to mobile every single time. So it's going to be a long way out before I think we can do rich media with mobile the way we want to.
And I think looking at advertisements, I think that they're kind of in their infancy stage, and we're going to see companies that haven't even begun rich media take a crack at this, see what they can do with it. I think they're going to start to use rich media ads as sort of a little mini microsite out there so that users can view content, can learn more about their products without having to click onto the ad and go to their site, even though that's the end result. But they're going to find tremendous value in rich media ads, and so websites are going to be charging tremendous amounts of money to place rich media ads. And again, you know, going back to those newspaper sites, I mean, that's why they exist, is to get users on there to view ads and click on ads so that their value of their ad placements go up. And we're going to see, costs of placements on sites such as the New York Times and such that offer rich media placements. We're going to see those costs, go up 3, 4, or 5 times as much as far as their cost per 1,000 impressions value in the next few years, I believe.
I think that's a very valid point. As we see all of these various traditional newspapers going out of business or moving online, they have to generate that revenue someplace else. There's only so much money that goes into paper. The rest goes into the reporters, the folks that are traveling around, and they're more and more, their role is becoming aggregators. They still need to be on site, but, this whole market is adapting. But I think the revenues have to be driven somewhere, and that's going to come through that ad placement.
Right, and eventually they're going to stop even marketing for JPEG and Flash ads, and they're going to look to open it up entirely to rich media just because the cost is, 2 to 3 to 4 times higher for their ad placements.
Which I think is also part of the reason why you're seeing a lot of the bigger, newer ones. OPA just opened up a new new guideline for a particular type that was called a pushdown. You only saw it on newspaper sites. It's the only one. It's one that basically opens up from the top of the page and pushes all the content down and then collapses again, which I think is a preferable to the floating ones that go over top the content. But at the same time, all these new formats that take more time to do, more time to place, and more time just to create or concept or relay that idea to a client, I think those are really only going to end up on those places that realize that that's going to be a large moneymaker, is to start being on the edge of it, as opposed to the majority of sites out there, which seem to still shun rich media and only accept it reluctantly.
I think that together also, though, as, again, let's say a national newspaper, if you're going to do a full-page ad, you're talking about several hundreds of thousands of dollars. As those rates go up, the amount of money people are going to pay to actually produce the ad to make it better, those budgets are going to increase also. They're going to realize that value that hey, I'm making an investment. I'm making a large investment, so I think my ad better be pretty good when I put it out there.
And we can't forget the old obvious. You can track everything online, and those full-page ads you place in the newspaper are not trackable. So they can see the return on investment they're getting from visitors to their website, leads coming in as a result of those, and potentially sales if they've got their tracking in place.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us today. If anyone out there listening has questions for someone here on the panel, you can send an email to thepodcast@sundog.net. Audio comments are also welcome. For Nick, JR, and Nate, this is Lon Keller. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time for another episode of Sundog the Podcast.